So, yeah, I was going to tell you a little bit about my coming out story, but I also, you know how, like, you come out and then you look back and you're like, I should have known then. Or I should have known then. So I thought I would give you a little rundown of some of the hints I had along the way and then talk to you a little bit about coming out to my parents at 26. So, a disclaimer, because I am an academic, I need to talk about language. We're talking about the 70s and 80s. In those days, it was LGB. So I'm not a hater, but I just have to be historically accurate. I have a historian sitting right in front of me, and she will kill me. So that's my disclaimer. Anyway, so hint number one, I grew up in Massachusetts. Woo-woo! You're welcome for the Celtics. I grew up in Massachusetts. My mother was in love with Provincetown, and we went there all the time. And I remember feeling like, good funny in my belly when I saw two men holding hands. Did not understand that that meant I was gay. Hint number two. And if you did not grow up in the 70s, just ride with me on this. It'll make sense later. So all my friends had like Tiger Beat cover photos of like David Cassidy and Scott Baio and like had them taped on their wall in their bedroom and like make out with them at night. And like for sleepovers, I would like heck them because I thought I had to do that. But here's what I had in my room, in my drawer, that I would pull out in private. The Farrah Fawcett red bathing suit photo. If you don't know what I'm talking about, Google it right now. I stared at that nipple for over an hour. Still did not know I was gay. Hint number three, speaking of Farrah Fawcett, the kids in school in those days became popular and pretty if they could sort of imitate the Farrah flip with their hair. So in middle school, that was Kristen. High school, that was Caroline. And so what I would do is become their best friend because I figured if I could keep the boys at bay, then like Caroline and I or Kristen and I could sort of ride off in the sunset together, like maybe like Thelma and Louise minus the cliff part. I didn't really understand what would happen next, but it really didn't matter because the boys got through and I was home alone writing like forlorn dark poetry in my room. Did not understand that I was gay. Hint number four. I'm on four, right? Yes. Okay. Hint number, I can't count. I'm in the humanities. Hint number four. I had a little stereo in my room, and I used all my babysitting money to buy albums all the time. Again, if you don't know what that is, they're like records. They go around. And so I would play them constantly, and then I would tie my jump rope to my bedpost and, like, sing along in my jump rope and stare at these photos. And so who was I listening to? Well, there's Led Zeppelin, because, like, Led Zeppelin. But I was really enthralled with Pat Benatar. Heart, preference for Ann Wilson, but Nancy would do. I like brunettes. Fleetwood Mac, because they were backup singers for Stevie Nicks. Joan Armatrading, Patti Smith. I forgot the last one. It's on the piece of paper over there. And, you know, would stare at those pictures, imagine my life with them and everything else, like on tour and like hanging out. Did not know that I was gay. Hint number five, right?
Yeah.
Hint number five is I decided that I was going to be the best ally on the planet. So I'm in college. Here comes the LGB part. There was wear jeans for LGB Visibility Day. So I wore jeans, and it was hot, and it was humid, and I thought, this means I'm an incredible ally. And then, like, a bunch of people like to go to the gay bar in town, which I kid you not was called the Salty Dog. And I would go, and so would the not-yet-out roommate of my boyfriend. I had a boyfriend. And so we would go, and like my friends were like, oh, it's so fun to be in a gay bar because we are straight and we don't care. And then meanwhile, my not-yet-out roommates of my boyfriend is like secretly looking at boys. I'm secretly looking at girls. We all go home forlorn and sad while our hetero friends had a great time, and we never talk to each other about it. But I did not know I was gay, but I knew I was an amazing ally. So, fast forward, I come home to Boston from college, and I finally have my first lesbian experience. Now, one could argue I had many along the way, but this is the real one. So I got a job at a sometimes gay, sometimes straight, mostly gay and straight together club, and I immediately developed a crush on my coworker named Susie. Susie had it all. She was out and proud. She was defiantly proud, in fact. She had like dyed white, spiky, punky hair. She had a black motorcycle leather jacket. And she was super, super gay, and she was very direct in her talk. And so one night she comes up to me after work, and I'm realizing this is because a friend of mine must have told her I had a crush on her, and she says, "What are you gonna do about that crush?" I was like, "It's now or never, Joni." So I shyly went home with her, and I can honestly tell you, as soon as I felt breasts on my skin, I went to heaven. And I was like, now I definitely know that I'm gay. So I called my brother the next day, and I said, I'm a lesbian, and he said, duh. And then he said, let's go to bars and look at girls together. And I just didn't have the heart to tell him we'd like be at different bars and like probably different girls, but it was a really sweet sentiment. So fast forward. So the next piece of the story, you need two pieces of information to understand this. So number one, I decided to go to photography and film school after college because I wanted to take out all the student loan money available in the country of America. And my parents actually were really proud of my allyship. And so, you know, they had raised us to be conscientious humans who cared about human rights, blah, blah. And so they really felt like this allyship of mine that I felt so strongly about, they were really proud of it. So I'm in photo school. I submit a couple of photographs to the LGB and Allies photo show, and I told my parents. And they said, do you have something to tell us? And I said, what? I'm a really good ally. Later that week, I brought my friend Gail, the construction worker, home. I swear she was. I brought Gail home to meet my parents. And like, if you're not following along, she was my girlfriend, actually. And so Gail, they leave Gail in the den at one end of the hall, and they bring me into their bedroom at the other end of the hall, and they say, do you have something to tell us? And I admitted it, and they cried. And then it's okay. And then my mom said, and for this I need to forgive, like, all of you, Thanksgiving is canceled. I have nothing to be thankful for. It's okay. Mostly, I just want to apologize because, like, if you didn't have Thanksgiving in 1990, it was totally my fault. I had zero idea that my coming out would have, like, national effect. So I apologize. Now, that was really temporary because she, besides not having Thanksgiving, which sucked for all of us, right? She went to PFLAG meetings. She asked for a book. I gave her a book. She asked me questions. I answered her questions. I told this Jewish mother I was definitely going to give her grandchildren. And so things were moving in a great direction. And so I think my mom decided really to sort of show her full acceptance that she would invite me and Gail to dinner, just like she would invite my brother and his girlfriend, and have a family dinner. So it was my parents, me, Gail, my brother, and the Viking, which is what I called his girlfriend at the time. She didn't wear horns, but she was from Minnesota. Before that, it was the Pilgrim, but that's another story. So we're at dinner. We went to Joyce Chen Restaurant in Cambridge, Massachusetts, which if you don't know who Joyce Chen is, Google her too while you're looking for the Farrah Fawcett red bathing suit photo. She actually created and mass marketed the flat bottom walk with the handle. Just telling. So anyway, so we're at Joyce Chen Restaurant in Cambridge, and my mother's telling this story about how she stopped a flood from happening in the basement of her work by, there was a pipe with a hole in it, and she put her finger in the hole to block the water from coming out, you know it's coming, until it got fixed. And she says, what is the name of that little Dutch boy that put his finger in the dike? So my brother kicked me so hard, I have a dent in my shin, actually, for the last 30 years. Gail completely choked on her tofu stir fry. And my mother just kept talking, like nothing had happened. She had zero idea what she said, and I realized, okay, we're totally normalized now. This is excellent. And so there's more than that, too, but I just want to say, like, what I've realized, of course, over time is that feelings change, meanings change, you know. So an example of that is when it was time for my ex and I to start making a family, my Thanksgiving-canceling mom actually paid for the sperm. And then one of the results of that is over there, my two gorgeous children from that sperm that my mom paid for. Grandma paid for you. Oh, it's that time. I have one more line. And the other thing that has been really, really great in my life living now is that I don't have to keep the boys away from the prettiest girl. I got to marry her.